Good morning, church. Good to see you this morning. Glad you're with us. Glad to see you. Well, I don't see you, but our live stream worshipers. Hi, Jim. You waving at me? Oh. All right, I want you to say a name with me. Are you ready? It's the name above every name. Anybody know what name that is? All right, on three, we're going to say it together. Are you ready? One, two, three. Jesus. One, two, three.
Jesus.
One more time.
Jesus.
That's who we come to worship today. Because He loves us. He loves us. Yes? And so He is worthy of our praise. He loves us even though He knows us. We're going to talk more about that in the sermon today. Let's pray. Father, You are so good. We don't have to wonder if You love us because You have proven that love. You became flesh. You are Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus. And You willingly surrendered Yourself to the cross, to death on our behalf. In 40 days, we will be celebrating that You overcame the grave. We don't wait 40 days. We celebrate that today. Would You send Your Spirit into this place? Would our praises please You and bring You glory? It's in the precious name, Jesus, that we pray. Amen. You'll rise if you're able. Let's worship.
may be seated. If the children would come forward.
Good morning. Everybody coming up? Harrington, I need you to come back this way. Ollie, stand right here. Go ahead and stand right there. Yeah, come this direction. Come out in front. Come to the middle. Come, scoot. Can y'all scoot over a little bit? No, this way. Connor. Can y'all go that way? All right. Hey, girl. How are you? Good to see everybody this morning. Is everybody enjoying this nice, warm weather? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I know. It was so nice. Who went outside and played yesterday and did fun things outside? I know. You did fun things inside? Okay. Well, that's good. I know you did. You played on your VR all day? Okay. Well, yesterday was a beautiful day. I think today's supposed to be pretty, so maybe you can go outside today, okay? All right. So this morning, I've got these boys and girls that are standing up here, and I think there should be a picture up on the screen. There it is, right there. So we want to give these kids an opportunity to share. Last weekend, we took a group of 12 fourth and fifth graders and 6 leaders to a Superstart convention or preteen conference. It's called different things, but it's a great time for us to go, and they learn and grow in God's truth. And it's just a fun, high energy, very exciting, very loud. And there was probably about 1,500 kids there with leaders. So there's a lot of people into this church learning and growing in God's truth. And so we want to give these kids an opportunity just to share what they are doing and learning and how they're growing. And so as y'all get bigger down here, like Harrington and Brantley, guess what? Y'all can go next year. Okay? And then as y'all get older, y'all be able to go in the couple of years. Okay? So this weekend, I'm going to have that weekend, they have a theme. And so Ollie's going to share what the theme was, and then we're going to begin with that. Okay, Ollie?
The theme was the mysterious truth. We were learning about one way we could always learn about the real truth, even though it's hard because we also have a lot of things in our life that's trying to block us. But one thing that we can go to is the Bible. And the scripture is, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 14:6.
Okay, thank you, Ollie. Thank you, Ollie. And yes, that was our whole thing. Very good. So the mysterious truth, we all started out the first thing that we did, we had to talk about how we look and how we listen to God. And what are the ways that we can do that? Because our world is really loud, but that's who we need to listen to and look to is God, right? Okay. And then the next one that we talked about is how we collect and connect God's truth. And how do we collect God's truth? Does anybody want to tell one way we collect God's truth? No? You want to say anything? We've got some kids that aren't sure I want to say anything. But we collect truths by reading our scripture, talking to people in our church, talking to our families, asking questions and talking to God in prayer, and how we experience by coming to church and how we experience life. And then once we know our truth, then we need to go out and show and tell that truth to others around us. And so that's how we continue to grow in God's word and in God's truth. And so I'm going to give these kids an opportunity to tell what their favorite part about Superstart was. And I'm going to start right here with Lelantis.
My favorite part was the cupcake caper.
You're going to tell what that is? Give a little bit of what it is.
The cupcake caper is a mysterious thing where you have to find clues to find out who cupcaked a birthday girl, and there was 4 suspects.
Very good. It was the mystery for the weekend. There's always some kind of theme, and so they had to figure out who cupcaked the girl. So that was always fun. Okay. Kenny?
Okay. I really liked the air.
Urban air.
And my second favorite part is also what Lelantos, the cupcake caker.
My favorite part was worship.
My favorite part was how we learned about how we learned about Jesus' seeking truth.
My favorite part was when we did the birthday boogie.
Okay. That was a song, by the way. The birthday boogie was a song. Okay. You ready?
My favorite part was worshiping.
So during this time, we worship together, and it's an amazing worship time with these kids. And it's just a joy to see all these kids worshiping the Lord and just how excited they are to be there. And so this gives these kids an opportunity to continue to grow in their faith and in their walk with the Lord. And so we are just excited to see what God's going to do with all of this, and that they continue to grow in God's word and God's truth, and that they will be a light for these boys and girls right here as they continue to lead and guide them. So we thank y'all as a church that we can go on these trips. We can use our church vans, and we can go out and eat lunch and go to Urban Air and just go and worship. And what a joy and a blessing it is to see a thousand kids in there worshiping and serving and growing in God's grace and love. And so would one of y'all want to pray? Levantos, you want to pray? Okay.
Dear God, we always praise you and praise you. Please help everyone that's in this place right now. Please help everyone that has sickness. Please help Ms. Teresa with her migraine. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, good morning, church.
Good morning.
Good to see you this morning. Good morning, Larry. Good to see you, too. Good to have you worshiping with us online. If you're able, let's stand and recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. I want to encourage you to go ahead and check into whichever service you're attending, either the online service or in the building. I want to remind you that our Ash Wednesday service is this coming Wednesday at 7, starts at 7 and runs till 7:30, and all our ministry groups, that time will end a little early. So that's 7 o'clock here in the sanctuary. And also, I want to put a plug in for our safety team. I think everybody's aware that we have some men that work really hard at keeping us safe on Sunday mornings, Wednesday nights, and they're here for almost every big event that we have. And I just want to thank them. I just want to bless them for their commitment. You know, they miss lots of church. They miss lots of worship, lots of teaching, but they're committed to the cause. And so anybody in the room that's part of the safety team, just kind of wave at us. Scott and Tom, that's Tom over there. A little higher there, Chance, if you don't mind. Okay, that's high. See, Chance is part of that team. Their numbers have dwindled over the last several years, and man, they could use some assistance. So if you're interested in that, you can see Gary Gamotes on your way out the door. I believe he's manning the front entrance. And, again, I just want to appreciate those guys and thank y'all so much for y'all serving in that capacity. So this morning I want to pray out of Scripture. During the early service, we touched on Ephesians 1, 5 through 23, where Paul was praying for the Ephesian church. And so this service, I just feel led to pray out of Colossians chapter 1, 9 through 12. And Paul prays for the Colossian church. So I just want to read this, pick out some prayer points that we see in this scripture, and pray into those. I mean, you know, the things that the first century church needed, we need today, even more so, So I'm going to read this. Just open up your hearts as I read the word. And then let's just pray this back to the Father. So we have not stopped praying for you. This is from the New Living Translation. We have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of His will, to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Anybody need wisdom and understanding in our day? My goodness. Then the way you live, when we have those things, then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord. I want to be pleasing to the Lord. I want to honor Him. It comes from His wisdom and His understanding. And your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. We also pray that you will be strengthened with all His glorious power, so you will have all the endurance and patience you need. Anybody lack patience? May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to His people who live in the light. So I pulled some prayer points out of that scripture, and I want to pray those. You can just track with me. You can just pray your own prayer. Just pray as the Holy Spirit leads you. Let's go to the Lord. Father, I thank you, God, for your love for us. And Lord, you have so much more for all of us, I believe, in this room that we, any of us, are experiencing. And so, look, Father, we just want to echo that same prayer that the Apostle Paul prayed to you, this prayer that you have stored in a bowl. We look in the book of Revelation, and the prayers of the saints are stored, they're collected. Someday they'll be poured out on the altar of heaven. And so, Lord, we just want to agree with that prayer. Father, would you bring us complete knowledge of your will, not just partial knowledge, God. And we'll never fully understand you, God, but I pray for this depth of knowledge that comes from you, the knowledge of your will, so that we'll have spiritual wisdom and understanding. We need that in this day. I don't understand our culture. I don't understand what's going on. It's just out of control. There's absolute chaos, God. I need you. We need you. We need wisdom. We need understanding. God, what are you up to in this hour? And Father, when that comes, then we'll live in such a way that honors you and pleases you. And Father, I thank you for your patience when we struggle with honoring you and pleasing you. Father, we want to produce good fruit. And so, Lord, as that wisdom comes, as that understanding comes, God, we will look more like Jesus. We'll talk more like Jesus. We'll act more like Jesus. And Father, as we grow and mature, we'll know you more, we'll trust you more, we'll see your activity. God, we can praise you more, we can honor you more with what we do. And just like Paul prayed that the Colossian believers would be strengthened with your glorious power, God, I pray you strengthen us with your glorious power of the Holy Spirit, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. God, I can't fathom how that lives inside of me. And I just don't explode. But Father, we need your power. We need your power to endure, Father. We need your power to be patient during this time. And Father, we need joy. We need to be filled with joy. God, would you fill us with joy? Your joy is our strength. Father, fill us up. Lord, I pray against discouragement this morning, God. I pray against depression this morning, Father. I pray that joy flood our souls for your glory. And Father, you've been so gracious to us to enable us to share in the inheritance that belongs to your people, God. We are sons and daughters of your God. You're not going to cut us out of the will. We are your heirs. So, Father, help us to embrace that. Father, help us to realize the depth of this promise you have made us through Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, we love you, we praise you, and thank you for this opportunity we could gather and worship you together as a family. Father, I pray that you deepen our love, not just for you, but you deepen our love for one another. pray for total, complete unity to come to this body of Christ, God, for your glory. Your power moves, I believe, from a place of unity. We see that in the book of Acts. So, Lord, just bless us for your glory. We thank you for this time, and we pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen and amen. Yes. From the mouth of infants and babes I've ordained praise, right? Where was I? Offering. Offering. God bless you, church, for your faithfulness. Giving options are on the screen. Offering boxes are by the doors. Man, let's press in to seek the Lord today. Can we do that as we continue to worship?
Through it all, my eyes.
Good morning again, church. Glad you're worshiping with us this morning. If you're our guest, we are especially glad you're here. Hope you feel the love of Christ in this place. Hope you feel His Holy Spirit and the love of His people. There is a card in the seat pocket in front of you with a blue stripe. It says guest registration. I'd love for you to fill that out. I'd love to meet you at the end of the service. I have a free gift for our guests down at this end of the foyer. Would love to meet you and get to know you a little bit. Glad that you're here. You can turn to Psalm 139, kind of hold your thumb there for just a second. I want to say a few things before we read the scripture. This Wednesday, Billy mentioned it, is Ash Wednesday, which how many of you did not grow up observing Lent? Yeah, quite a few. Well, there's nothing magical or biblical that we have to, where you have to observe Lent, but it's a neat preparation period. It's a 40-day preparation period, which begins on Ash Wednesday, and it's 40 days excluding Sundays leading to, in preparation of our hearts for Easter. And one of the things that some people do is you've heard people say, I gave up such and such for Lent. Some people, it might kill some of you to give up things like chocolate or, things like, Cheryl, I'm sorry, I'm just, or a Dr. Pepper or something like that. So you can give up different things, and it's denying yourself something so that you can press into the Lord. You can also take on something. Remember, I think it's been 2 years ago, it might have been 3 years ago, Billy, that several years ago started a men's Bible study. He came to me and said, what do you think about me starting a men's Bible study on Tuesday mornings at 6:20? And I said, as long as I don't have to be there, good. That's good. Do it, brother. I am not a morning person, and I don't trust morning people. You're all weird. I think it was 2 years ago, it might have been three, that I took on, for I felt compelled. The Lord said, you need to get up and go to the men's Bible study for Lent. And I've stayed with that pretty well. I stayed with it consistently through my Lent period, and now it's here 2 years later, and I'm still participating in that class. So Lent is not about fixing ourselves. It's about allowing God to examine our hearts and in preparation for Easter. If you notice in your bulletin, and I put this in my email this week, there is a booklet I felt compelled to preach through six of the Psalms this Lenten season. We will start that today. And I also, the thing I am taking on for Lent this year is I want to read a psalm every day during the Lenten season. And I would invite you to go and be a part of that with me. So there's a booklet there that lists the song and then a little reflection thought and a little prayer there, and you can kind of make that your own if you decide to do that. But there's, you may wonder, there's more than 40 psalms in the book of Psalms. You may wonder, how did I pick these 40? According to, that we don't live in Kansas anymore, according to ChatGPT, these are the 40 most well-known, widely read and quoted psalms. So they got a little assist from ChatGPT on the psalm selection. So turn with me if you would. We're starting a new sermon series. Today's message, the series is 40-Day Walk with the Psalmist. And today's message is based on Psalm 139, Search Me, O God. So let's read this psalm together. I'll read it and you can listen. How's that? All right, let me get there. Okay, Psalm 139, verse 1. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day. The darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. If only you would slay the wicked, O God, away from me, you bloodthirsty men. This is King David, by the way. He had a lot of people trying to kill him. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord, and abhor those who rise up against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, would you speak? We have invited you. We trust that you are here. We know that you are here because you promised to be. Would you speak in power and authority and transform our hearts in Jesus' name? Amen. So we're just going to, there's so much in this psalm that I could not possibly get it all into one message, but I'm going to just pull out some pieces of it that I think the Lord would have us hear. The first is, church, God knows you completely. We can run, but we can't hide, as the old saying goes. He knows us completely. King David, who wrote this psalm, oh, Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit down, you know when I rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar, you discern my going out, my lying down, you're familiar with all my ways before a word is on my lips, my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. And I would modernize that and say, before I post anything on social media, you already know what I'm going to say. Nothing about us is hidden from God. He knows us. Now stay with me. He knows your actions. He knows your thoughts. He knows even your words before you speak them. Even so, God loves you. Isn't that amazing? Amen. He knows us. And maybe it's just me that goes, uh-oh. He knows us. And yet he loves us. You are fully known and fully loved by the lover of our souls. He knows your past. He knows your struggles. He knows your thoughts. He knows your doubts. He knows your fears. The one who knows you best loves you most. Isn't that amazing? Amen. You would think, I don't know, maybe I'm just thinking about myself. It's like, Lord, you know me. How could you love me? You know me. You know my thoughts. You know my past. You know the times I fail you. How could you love me? The one who knows you best loves you most. That's, church, if I don't say another word, I want you to hear that. Take that home with you. Secondly, not only does God know you completely, but God is with you constantly. He's with you constantly. Where King David says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee? I can't hide. If I go to the heavens, you're there. If I go to the depths, you're there. Your right hand will guide me. You can never be separated from God's presence. And I would even expand that. You can never be separated from his love. I'm reminded of the Apostle Paul, great, great chapter of Romans, Romans 8. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? You know, the world tells us all sorts of things can separate us from the love of Christ. But Paul says, who can separate us? Should trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or sword or danger? No, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. And then he goes on, for I'm convinced, Paul says, and he'd been through it, that neither death or life or angels or demons, nor the present or the future, nor any powers, neither height or depth or anything else in all creation is able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's no place, where God in his love abandons you. I don't know why we get this idea, but we think that when we are blessed, when everything's going perfect, which is pretty rare, right? But we think when everything's going really, really well, God must love us. But when we struggle, God doesn't love us. That's not, first of all, it's not true. Second of all, it's not biblical. There's no place where God and his love abandons you. As followers of Christ, as believers in Christ, we never walk alone. Whatever life throws at us, we never walk alone. God is walking with us. Many times, as the old story goes, many times he's carrying us when we struggle. God knows you completely. God is with you constantly. And thirdly, God created you purposefully. Your life has meaning. It has purpose. Listen to verse 13. For you, O God, King David said, you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I want to stop for just a second to say, this passage right here is why I will always defend life. Pro-life. It's not a political thing. Life is God's business. And most of you ladies, if you've had a child, you've felt that baby being knit together in your womb. And also stop to say, if you've either had an abortion or pressured someone to have an abortion, I want you to hear that God's grace is sufficient. He loves you. That's why he hung on a cross, because we mess up. But that will never keep me from proclaiming that life is precious. Why is it precious? Because God is the creator of that life. You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you. Now listen to this. This is important. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. So David is saying, I am fearfully and wonderfully made because you made me. Now listen to the next four words. Your works are wonderful. You hear that? God created you, and he doesn't create junk. God created you, and his works are wonderful. Whether we know it or accept it or embrace it, you are wonderful if we believe God's word. He created us, and we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and his works are wonderful. And then he has a purpose in verse 16. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Your life, church, your life is intentional. It's designed. You were designed, and your life is meaningful. God has a purpose for you. Maybe it's just to love somebody that's kind of unlovable. You ever think about that? That's hard, but it's easy. I mean, you don't have to, you know, not all of us are made with, you know, wonderful, you know, we can't, you know, leap across, you know, tall buildings with a single bound and those kind of things. We may not have those big, what we think is big gifts, but we all have the capacity to love. We all have the capacity to share Christ. Our life is, your life is intentional, designed, it's meaningful, it has a purpose. God made you. He doesn't make junk. Your life has purpose. And the value, if you look at this scripture, your value comes from God, not from man. Hello, is this on? It doesn't matter what anyone else says about you. God says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, and I don't make junk. And you have a purpose in this life. You have a purpose. And number four, God invites your willing surrender. It's interesting. David starts this psalm out by saying, first he says, you've searched me and you know me. He recognizes that he can run, but he can't hide from God. But then it's like at the end, he's going, you know me, and so I'm going to open myself up to you. It's really, you already know me, so it's really just kind of a moot point. But he says, search me and know my heart. Lord, you already know me, Lord. I'm opening myself up. Know me fully. And not only know me, but express what you know about me to me. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Test me. Know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. So what David is saying, I believe what the Lord was tell us is that he already knows us. We open ourselves up to him and ask him to reveal in me things that are not pleasing to you. Things that don't bring you glory in my life. Maybe it's the way I treat my wife or my husband or my children or my coworker or that person that's mean to me. Reveal any offensive way in me, Lord. You know me, Lord. Now help me know myself. Reveal your heart for me. This Lenten season, and really just our journey with the Lord, is to invite God, who already knows us completely, but to invite him into those hidden places in our life. And what's amazing to me is sometimes I think we can be hesitant to that because we don't understand that God doesn't want us to confess things to him so he can scold us. He wants us to confess things to him so he can free us. Because God loves you. He only wants good for you. I look back at my own life when I had those moments with the Lord where I've confessed things in my life, it's like, he didn't wag his finger at me. He embraced me. Yeah, I know you're a knucklehead, Hatcher. But I love you. I love you so much. I died for you. And I would do it again and again and again. We don't have to fear inviting God into those hidden places in our lives because He wants to heal us. He wants to mold us more into his image. He doesn't want to scold us or shame us. That's what the devil does. God wants to heal us, take us to a brand new place, a wonderful place. He invites us, search me, O God, and know my heart. If there's anything in me that's not of you, that doesn't please you, that doesn't bring you glory, show me that. Show me how to lay that aside. Heal me. He knows you completely, church. He is with you constantly. He's created you for a purpose, and he invites you to follow him. If you'll just bow your heads with me, if the praise team will come on back up. Father, we forgive us. I don't know, maybe I just speak for myself. Forgive me, Lord, when I fear confessing those things to you. You are, as the song says and as your word says, you are such a good, good Father. You only want good for us. If there's those this morning, Lord, in this place, maybe even at home, that don't know you like that, would you embrace them? Embrace them with your Holy Spirit. Wrap your arms around them. I'm just reminded, Jesus, you said, come to me, all who are weary and burdened. I'll give you rest. You are such a good Father. You only want good for us. Thank you that you know us and you still love us. May we allow you to embrace us, to heal us, to save us, to set us free. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you, the prayer rails are always open as we, along our service. This, if you want someone to pray with you, you can come to this side. If you want some time just with the Lord, you can come to this side. Don't leave this place without knowing that Jesus that I'm talking about.
Give
Church, take your finger, put it right here. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. God doesn't make junk. He may make that other thing I said. You are fearfully and wonderfully made, and His creations are wonderful. That's good news. Go and tell someone. God bless you.
And all the people said amen. Whoa.
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus Himself set the example for us by being baptized Himself, and He encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.